Why there's so many songs on life being like a journey. I've been studying this idea of a journey this week. I want to talk to you about your journey. And I've been singing all week. I've been noticing that there's just songs everywhere, from every culture, from ancient history to modern history. Everywhere you go, every culture you go, whether it's Aboriginal culture or ancient Greek culture, there's this journey image everywhere. People, human beings, for some reason, we seem to compare life and living to travelling, to a road, to a way, to a journey. And I wonder why that is. So as we begin, let me show you some of the songs that I thought of this week as I was thinking about the journey. See if you can guess the songs. In fact, I'll give you some stickers if you can guess, just like I would give the kids. Beautiful. So I'll put some song words up. See if you can guess this song. These songs compare living to journeying. This one you might know. Going places that I've never been, seeing things that I may never see again, and I can't wait to get on the road again. What is it? On the road again. Jason. On the road again. Going places that I've never been. Okay, is that enough? Seeing things that I may never see. Let's sing. Again. Get on the road again. Beautiful. Okay. The next one is arguably the greatest hit of the 21st century so far. And we all just sing it and we dance to it. But it's got really great lyrics. Look at this. Feeling my way through the darkness, guided by a beating heart. I can't tell when the journey will end, but I know where to start. Come on, what's that? Come on. It is literally the greatest hit of the 21st century, I think, so far. You know it, don't you? Come on, tell me. Really? I'll give you a hint. Now do you know? Yeah, it's Avicii. Right. You want to know that, don't you? The whole song is about a journey, and the whole song's about how we live and what our life is like, and it's comparing life to travelling, and the video is really cool too. Okay, some people will know this one. No phone, no pool, no pets, I ain't got no cigarettes, but 2 hours of push and broom buys an 8x12 4-bit room. I'm a man of means, by no means king of the road. What? Yeah? Now, sung by Roger Miller in the 60s, and the X-Gen people know the Proclaimers sang it. Nice harmonies. Okay. This song I hate. I absolutely hate this song. This is unfortunately one of the signature songs of my generation, but I just can't stand it. And the words are actually quite profound. Life's like a road that you travel on. When there's one day here and the next day gone, sometimes you bend, sometimes you stand, sometimes you turn your back to the wind. Does anyone know this? Who said that? Turn it up, it's horrible. I'm going to give you some stickers. Yeah, life is a highway, I want to ride it all night long. Oh, honestly. And this song is actually, it's on the Australian charts at the moment. It's the song for the movie Moana. And I absolutely love this song. The singer of this song has a great voice. And look at the lyrics, just so well done. Every turn I take, every trail I track, every path I make, every road leads back to the place I know where I cannot go, where I long to be. See the line where the sky meets the sea? It calls me. How's that for poetry? It's actually good. Who is it? Yeah? So good. I'm going to give you the most embarrassing, like, funny little Jesus stickers. How good's that? Okay, I admit that I'm a massive Alessia Cara fan. Is that a problem for any of you? I just think she's great. I think she can sing so well. You might like to look her up, Alessia Cara. But this is the thing that I've noticed. Human beings seem to love to sing about our lives, and we often, when we do that, compare our lives to a trip, a road, a trail, a track, a path, a journey. That's almost universal. It's there in the Buddhist Eightfold Path. It's there in the Hindu path. It's there in Islam. They have the track, the way, the pilgrimage. It's everywhere you look. Everywhere you look, human beings are comparing life to a road. Why is that? I don't know. I suspect it might have something to do with the fact that we're trying to make sense of our lives. We're trying to get some meaning. And if our life is a journey and it's going somewhere, then that helps, doesn't it? Or it might be that deep down, underneath all of the culture and stuff that's going around, in the very bottom of our hearts and souls, there is a lost wanderlust. There is a desire deep down in our hearts for a destination to which we want to travel. And maybe it comes out in every religion and culture somehow. Maybe it's there, a longing for another place, a journey we must take. I don't know, but maybe. Now, what about this life is a journey thing? It's very popular in modern culture at the moment, isn't it? Everywhere you go, oh, life's a journey. That's great. But I want to know, is that image a good thing or a bad thing? And that's what I'm going to get you to talk about in your groups this week. I'm going to ask you, what is helpful about thinking of life as a journey? And I'm also going to ask you, what is unhelpful or could be unhealthy about this sort of thinking too? Because it's not all good. So, would you like to just talk to someone near you for a moment and just answer the first and easier question? What is helpful about thinking of life as a journey? How does that help? How does that assist? How does that make things better for you? Over to you. Tell somebody nearby. What is helpful about thinking of life as a journey? Human beings love thinking of life this way, don't we? So I'd just like to ask maybe for three thoughts from among you as to how this could be helpful. Anyone want to share something that they heard or said?
The crossroads.
Okay, say that. That's good.
What about the crossroads that you come to?
Okay. Robert Frost, you know, he says that poem about I took the road less travelled and it made all the difference. Yeah, life sometimes requires choice of path. And that's helpful when you're thinking journey stuff, I suppose. What else? There's lots of reasons why this is a helpful image. There's some why it's not too. Anyone else want to add something? Oh, look at that. It's an emeritus bishop.
No, my friend Barry had the wisdom.
Ah, Barry.
It gives us focus.
It does. It gives us focus. It's helpful. One more. Yes. I was just thinking about the gender balance here.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that, but because there's a start and an end.
Nice. So this idea of thinking about life as a way, a trip, a road, a track, a trail, a journey, can be very helpful. That's why people do it. Also, they do it because it's true. It is. But what about the Bible? What does the Bible actually say about this? Is this image in the Bible? Absolutely, yes. The Bible is soaked from the very beginning to the very end with travel, journey, way, road, path images. Everywhere you look in the Bible, you'll find this image over and over, that life is like a road or a way. And there are two special words that are used for this. In the ancient Hebrew of the Old Testament, the word is derek. Anyone named Derek? Your name means road, way, path, trail. It can also mean lifestyle because the road that you go on, the way that you choose, is a lifestyle. Does that make sense? And in the New Testament, this is the word that I want to teach you today. The word is hodos. Can you say that? Hodos. Hodos is most often, and throughout the Bible, both of these words are best translated way. Just way. Because a way is a path, a road, it's a trail, it's all sorts of things. But a way is also a pattern of behaviour. Your road involves how you live and how you act. And so hodos occurs about 100, it's exactly 101 times in the New Testament actually, and derek's about, I don't know, almost 500 in the Old Testament. And this is really important because the Bible not only says that our life is like a journey, but the Bible has a lot to say about what kind of journey. it clarifies that a great deal for us. So I'm going to track you through from the very beginning to the end of the Bible really fast. And every time I get to the word way, road, path, journey, or lifestyle, it's always the word derek or hodos. It's just always that word. And I'm just going to use the word way, traditional translation. When I say that word, when I get to it, can you yell it out nice and loud? You ready? Genesis 35. God who answers me in the day of my distress and has been with me on the way. Deuteronomy 1. The Lord your God who went before you in the way to find for you a place to pitch your tents in fire by night and cloud by day to show you by what way you should go. This is fascinating. God's going with you on the way. He's showing you where to pitch your tent. He's guiding you on the road. He's your travel guide. Job 23, my foot has held fast to God's steps and I have kept to his way without turning aside. And Psalm 27, teach me your way, Lord. Lead me in a straight path. Every time you hear this word way, it means road, track, trail or journey. And notice in these passages, it seems to be suggesting that there is a right way. There's God's way. Teach me your way. And that's different to some other roads. There's a right journey. Oh, for you people, yeah. There's a right road. Psalm 16, you make known to me the way of life. Proverbs 15, stern discipline awaits those who leave the way. Oh, watch out. There is a right way, a right road, a right journey, a proper path, a good path. And if you leave it, it produces trouble. And what is this path, this road? It's the road of life. Psalm 142, when my spirit grows faint within me, it is you who watch over my way. There is a right road which leads somewhere good, and God watches over that. Now Jesus starts to speak about it. Jesus says, enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many, for the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Now Jesus is telling us that there is a specific way, and it's narrow, it's small. Not everyone finds it. The normal road that people go on is broad and wide and easy, but there's a narrow way, a narrow road. And where does it lead? Life. In Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, the word hodos, way, gets used an awful lot, particularly Matthew, Mark and Luke, and they use it in a special way. They talk about Jesus a lot with this word. I'll show you how they do it. Jesus went with his disciples and on the way, he asked his disciples, who do people say that I am? On the road. They're very, very keen to let you know that Jesus is on the road, on the way, on a trail, on a track. Why are they telling you that? That's so important. They focus on it so much. Where does that road, that way go? Jerusalem. And they want you to know that Jesus walked a particular and specific road. And on that road, he asks you who he is, and then he calls you to follow. And the final one, I just love this one. And now, I will show you the most excellent way. What follows this? Do you know the words that follow this immediately after with no break? The chapter doesn't mean nothing. There's no chapters and verses in the original Bible. And now I will show you a most excellent way. If I speak in the tongue of men and angels but have not love, my voice is just a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. Yeah, if I give my body to be burned by the flames and surrender everything I have but have no love, it gets me nothing. That's the most excellent way. I always think when they read that passage, they should leave the first verse on, because here we discover that there is a road, a path, a trail for life, and that road is what? Love. Now I'll show you the most excellent way. Love. So, the Bible clearly says something about our life being a journey, but it says it in a very special way and not exactly the same as the way the world says it either. I just want to show you a bit of fun with some words, because I love words, as you've noticed. What was that word for way or road or path or trail? Hodos. Nice. Now, there's a book in the Bible called Ex Hodos. What's that? Exodus. Yeah, what does it mean? It's the way out. It's escape. See? X, out, hodos, road. It's the road out. So God leads us. He led the people of Israel on an X hodos, a road out of slavery. And that's where he's leading us. And when Christians meet together, we all come together and we call that synhod. It's actually from synhodos. No, it doesn't mean sin like being bad. It's S-Y-N. Do you know what that means? Sin is together, S-Y-N, and hodos is road. When we gather together as a church, it's a road together, synhodos. There you go. Now you know what synod means. All that's really exciting, but there's something much more important than all of that. You could know all that and miss God completely. Hodos. Can you guess what that might mean? Sounds a bit like Santa Claus. It's the way. It means the trail, the road, the journey. Hodos. And this is really, really important because in the Bible there's a special thing. It's called the way. And that's really important. You have a way, a road, a path, a trail. I have a path, a trail. There are many trails and many roads and many ways that people could live their life and many choices they could make. But through the Bible, there's this constant emphasis that there is the way, which is distinct from every other way of living. The road, the trail, hodos. And by the time of Jesus, this had been clearly understood to mean the road to where? God. Life. Heaven. The way. And so they would ask each other questions like, are you on the way? Are you following the way? And they knew what that meant. And in the context of that, we have these incredible words of Jesus, where he speaks of himself as a road, a trail, a journey, a path. John 14, Jesus said, "You know the way to the place where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way?" Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." Jesus has here identified himself as the road, the trail, the path. And it's really fascinating how this conversation goes, because every time it's hodos, the way, the way, the way. And it starts clearly with a misunderstanding. The disciples don't get it. Thomas says, "We don't know the way. What are you talking about?" And Jesus says, "You know the road, the path to God, the very journey that every person needs to take?" He says, "That's me. I'm that." This was so profoundly understood by the first Christians that they even called themselves, before the word Christian was invented, what were followers of Jesus called? The way. Because they understood that following Jesus meant that he would so completely and utterly define their identity that he was their journey. His road to the cross, his road of suffering and giving and service, and his road of resurrection, that was the road that they were on. He was the road, and they were on the road, and they called themselves the road, the way. So this week, I'm going to ask you in your study groups to just think about the significance of a bunch of people calling themselves the way. Because that's a really big claim. Now let's just backtrack a bit, because I want to talk about how people in the world talk about life being a journey. And they say things like, you know, life's a journey. Don't worry, the destination doesn't matter. Just enjoy the road. Have you heard that saying? There's some truth to it. It helps at a certain time. But I actually think that's total rubbish. Because that kind of phrase often comes from a way of thinking that isn't concerned with the destination. You see, I actually think that what makes a road or a trail so good is the destination. Any of you driven to Adelaide? You drive for like 2 days, you drive and you drive and you drive, and at the end you get some Adelaide coffee. Yeah. Disappointment. Well, that image just fell apart. Okay. In my case, you get to see your loved ones. And that is that better for you? And that gives the whole journey meaning for me, because the drive's horrible. It just keeps going on forever and ever, and your back's aching and you feel like you're falling asleep and there's radar and all sorts of stuff. And in a journey, the destination does actually matter. And so when you say to me, you know, the end of life, the journey, don't worry about the destination, just enjoy the journey, I'm like, you know what, that's a partial truth. Because I can tell you right now that the destination matters completely to a journey. Have you ever heard someone tell a story about their life and they've told you about bad stuff that happened and how they fell and how they broke, and then they tell you about how somehow they were restored and where they are now? They tell you about the destination they've arrived at, the wisdom that they've gained, and that makes sense of all of the road that came before. Destinations really matter. When we talk about life as a journey, it's pointless unless we know the destination. So let's have a couple more songs. Australian music. Love it. Season ticket on a one-way ride, asking nothing, leave me be, taking everything in my stride. Don't need reason, don't need rhyme. Ain't nothing that I'd rather do. I'm on the highway to... Yeah? Oh, Dawn knows it. Okay, I'm going to just give you the guitar riff. How good is that? Arguably one of the greatest guitarists of all time. But do you notice where Akadaka think that they're going? What's their road? They've clearly identified life as a journey in their song. And what have they identified as the destination? I'm on the highway to hell. Whether they are or not, I don't know, and I'm not condemning Akadaka, ACDC. But their song identifies something profound, and that is that when it comes to a journey, the destination matters. It matters. And knowing what the destination is has a great deal to do with how you experience the journey. C.S. Lewis said something, oh, don't you like it? One more time. Here it is. Oh, Matt with the remote control, so excited about ACDC. There it is. Thanks, Australia. Yeah. There's a great movie about the life of Bon Scott, by the way. It's worth seeing, and it actually does demonstrate the highway to hell, quite sadly. C.S. Lewis said, "The surest road to hell is the gradual one. The gentle slope, soft underfoot, without sudden turnings, without milestones, without signposts." Jesus said the same thing. On your life's journey, if you want your life's journey to make sense, you need to know the destination. The destination makes all the difference. It really does. Another great song. Do you know this one? "We're on a road to nowhere. Come on inside. Taking that ride to nowhere. We'll take that ride. Maybe you wonder where you are. I don't care." Do you know it? Yeah, you know this? You see, these people have identified what Australians generally actually believe, that we're on a road to nowhere, that our destination is oblivion, that one day we'll die and it'll just be like a puff of atoms and that's pretty much it, we're over. And therefore, nothing that happened before really has any meaning. If you are on a road to nowhere and you believe that, well, the journey's pretty pointless. You might as well do whatever you like. But if you know the destination, that changes everything. You see, I love following Jesus. I love calling Jesus my road, my path, because I know that means that I'm going to follow him to the cross, to caring for the poor. I'm going to follow him to hard places. He's the road. He's the journey. And also, I'm going to follow him and join him in his destination. And that changes the way that we live. Think about your life now. Think about the hard stuff. Knowing the destination makes the hard stuff different because you know where it's headed. It's headed to eternity. This is why Jesus makes such a difference. So in your groups this week, I want you to think through, how is the journey different when Jesus is the way? What does Jesus change about the journey that we have of life? That's the big thing you're going to think about. We're going to finish now. And as we finish, I'm going to read the Word of God to you from John chapter 14, and I encourage you to just close your eyes because I'm going to speak this word specifically into your life and for your heart. So hear the Word of God for you and for your journey. Jesus says to you, I go to prepare a place for you. Jesus says, I go. He's gone ahead of you. Wherever you go, he will have been before you in the road, preparing. You have nothing to fear because Jesus says, I go ahead of you to prepare a place for you. And Jesus says, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, that you may be where I am. Do you hear these words? He says, I will take you to myself. You don't have to worry about getting yourself there. You don't have to worry about whether you're clever enough or you make all the exact right choices, or whether you're good enough for Jesus. You don't have to worry about how you get to heaven, because he says, I will take you to myself. He will carry you. He will get you there. And finally, Jesus says, you know the way to where I am going. I am the way and the truth and the life. You see, you may think you don't know how to navigate life and you don't know how to get there. You may think you don't know what choices to make for your road or for your way, but Jesus says you know the way. You do. Because he is the way. He's got it covered. Life may not seem like the road is so good right now, but know this, Jesus is the way. And with him, you've got not just this life covered, but eternity covered too. And he will get you safely home. Safely home. Amen.